Hey everybody, thanks for joining us for this episode of the GovCon video blog. Today I'm going to talk briefly about a new regulation that the U.S. Department of Labor issued recently covering independent contractors under the Fair Labor Standards Act, or FLSA. So as many folks know, the FLSA sets federal minimum wage and overtime rules that apply to workers that are classified as employees. And these minimum wage and overtime rules don't apply to workers that are not employees. In other words, workers that are independent contractors. Now, this issue of whether a worker is an employee or an independent contractor obviously isn't something that's unique or specific to government contractors. But given the amount of subcontracting that goes on in federal contracting, even by small businesses, it's easy for government contractors to slip into the mindset of calling anyone who isn't working in-house a subcontractor or independent contractor. And these lines between employee and independent contractor are blurred even more now, given how much remote working is happening in the current COVID-19 pandemic. So federal contractors should know where to draw the line between employee and independent contractor, particularly given the significant liability and penalties that can apply if a contractor misclassifies a worker as an independent contractor and fails to pay minimum wage and overtime. So today, we're going to touch briefly on three things that contractors should know about DOL's new independent contractor regulation. So the first thing that contractors should know is that the new regulation is the first regulation DOL has issued that sets out a definitive across-the-board test for determining whether a worker is an employee or an independent contractor under the FLSA. Now, it seems hard to believe, but until now, there has been no definitive DOL regulation that all employers can go to figure out if a worker is an independent contractor or an employee under the FLSA. Now, it's true there are about three DOL regulations that cover workers in specific industries like workers in the logging industry, or sharecroppers, or migrant or seasonal agricultural workers. But for employers that are not in these industries, well, they've been left largely to rely on guidance in opinion letters and in a fact sheet that is posted on the DOL website. And this guidance has changed over time. So what's important here is that placing the test for when a worker is an employee or an independent contractor in a regulation, well, that not only creates some stability, but it also means that any changes to the test will be subject to public review and comment under the typical procedures that apply to changes in federal regulations. The second thing the contractor should know is that under the new regulation, the test for determining whether a worker is an employee, which is called the economic reality test, is a five-factor test. Now, we may explore the regulation in more detail in the future, but for now, we'll just give a quick overview. So, under the new regulation, DOL applies the same basic test that it applied earlier in its fact sheet and opinion letters. And this test, known as the economic reality test, is the same test that courts, including the Supreme Court, have applied to determine if a worker is an employee or an independent contractor. So that test, the economic reality test, boils down to one essential question. And that is, as a matter of economic reality, is a worker economically dependent on the business that he or she is working for? So although the new regulation still applies this economic reality test that DOL used earlier, where the regulation is different is in the factors that DOL says should be considered when applying this test. Now, before the regulation, DOL examined at first six factors and then later seven factors to determine if a worker was economically dependent and therefore an employee. And other than indicating that no one factor was determinative, DOL didn't provide much guidance in how employers should weigh the factors or what to do if certain factors pointed in one direction while the rest pointed in the other. Well, under the new regulation, DOL not only pared those factors down to five factors, it also clarified that two of the factors are core factors that should be given more weight than the other three factors. And those two core factors are 1, the nature and degree of the business's control over the work performed by the worker, and 2, the worker's opportunity to make a profit or loss. And the three non-core factors are 1, the amount of skill that the employee requires to do the work, 2, the degree of permanence of the working relationship between the worker and the business, and 3, whether the work is part of an integrated unit of production of the business. In other words, how integrated is the work that the worker does to the things that a business produces? So for example, if a worker makes signs for a business that creates software, well, you can see that that work is not as integrated as compared to the work done by a software engineer for the software company. The third thing the contractor should know is that the March 8th effective date for the new regulation is now postponed. So DOL published its final rule containing the new regulation in early January 2021, and that final rule and regulation were set to become effective on March 8th. But after the inauguration, the new administration put a regulatory freeze in place for new regulations that had not yet taken effect. That freeze asks agencies to add a delay period of 60 days for agencies to take another look at the proposed regulations and to ask for additional public comments. And for rules or regulations that raise substantial issues of law or policy, agencies are asked to refer the rule to the OMB director after the 60-day delay period. So all of this is to say that at this point, it's not entirely clear when the new independent contractor regulation will become effective. Still, contractors should keep an eye out for any further developments on the new independent contractor regulation because it may have a significant impact on bottom line issues like payroll, benefits, and payroll taxes. Well, that's all I have for this episode. Thanks for joining me, and I hope you come back for future episodes of the GovCom video blog.